Hebrews chapter 13, look at verse number 10. We have an altar whereof they have no right to eat which serve the tabernacle. For the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin and burned without the camp. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth there unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But to do good and to communicate, forget not. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. Now, let me remind you, Hebrews 13 is kind of a summary chapter of the previous 12 for the whole book of Hebrews. It's kind of a, let's take the whole book of Hebrews and condense it into one chapter and kind of give a chapter summation of the entire book of Hebrews. Let me remind you also, it is not written in story form. It's kind of like reading a chapter in Proverbs where it goes through a couple verses that are related and then skips to the next subject. And a couple more and skips to the next subject. And that's much like what Hebrews 13 is like. I use the term, it's a bit more like an encyclopedia than a storybook. It just has a little bit more of that flavor to it. And I want to help you. Tonight is going to be a bit different because the majority of the book is involved in verses 10 through 16. Most of the book of Hebrews centers around verses 10 through 16 of chapter 13. I kind of call it the mini overview of the entire book of Hebrews, just in those few verses we read tonight. Now, I have to remind you of this because it's vital to get the truth tonight. God chose a race of people, not a religion of people. God chose Abraham to be the father of a race of people. He did not choose Abraham to be a religion of people. Now, that's important. Hebrew is a word in reference to a nation. Jewish is in reference to a religion, Judaism, or the Jewish religion. By the way, the Jewish religion has been wrong ever since they came out with that word because they were worshiping the government. Now, God wanted to lead the Hebrew people. He said, I'll call you my people. I'll be your God. I'll lead you as long as you obey me. Now, I personally believe we ought to support Israel. I think anybody that doesn't, we can show them where the borders are and get them out of here. I believe in supporting Israel. You say, why? Because they're God's chosen people, and it's our obligation. God says, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. I got a boy sitting 35 nautical miles from Jerusalem right now, helping keep the peace of Jerusalem. Their base is the one that stopped all those missiles from Iran a few weeks ago. And I get it. I understand it. Now, you have to understand something. The Hebrew government was set up around God. The government was not God. Did you hear that? The government was set up for God to lead, but it was not religion. God wanted a very unique nation of people who allowed him to lead them. Just like when our forefathers brought forth our country, we were a godly nation. Our politicians in Constitution Hall and other places got on their faces and prayed for day on end, fasted and prayed for days. Would to God they would do that again. But the government was never supposed to be the religion. This is where you get the term law and grace. The Hebrews decided that they would get to heaven because they were God's chosen people. They were going, but only those that followed the law were going to have all the benefits, so to speak. Well, the gospel is for every creature. Everybody doing okay? Hang on. People are sinners. And people corrupt everything they touch. You know, even good things, we mess up. Say why? Because we're sinners. We're sinners. I had to get my concealed carry permit renewed. Finally got downtown Martinsburg and walked in and had the paperwork. I walked up to the counter. The lady says, oh, you got to go through that door, wait at the window. The lady there will help you. I said, no problem. I got there. I handed her the piece of paper. She looked at it. She turned it over. She said, where's the second page? I said, oh, no, wasn't given a second page. You need to fill out both sides again. Okay. So I sat down. I said, I'm going to do my best to write it so you can read it. She said, I appreciate that. Tried to get her to be kind. I filled it all out. Then she says, and I had given her my driver's license and my CCW card. And she said, now I either need a check or a money order for $50. I said, I got $50 cash. She said, can't take it. I said, you got to be kidding me. She said, no, you'll have to come back. Handed me everything and shut the window. I drove home. I got a check. I drove back. I walked by, and I wasn't the happiest of people at the moment, but I wasn't going to let anybody else know that. And I got there, and she was kind. She said, sir, she said, I could tell that bothered you. I said, yes, ma'am, it did. She said, it's not my rule, but I have to enforce it. I said, that's why I didn't get mad at you. I just got mad at the rule, but I'm obeying the rule. That's much the way government's supposed to be. Do I always like their stupid rules? No. But guess what? There's some, it's just the way it's got to be. Now, it was inconvenient, yes. But it is what it is. Now, let me help you. Number one, I'm going to show you something here. Let's practice. Y'all look like you're about half dead. Everybody shout amen. You ready? Go.
Amen.
All right, because you're going to shout a little bit tonight if I get this thing across the way it's supposed to. First of all, we have to understand something. Jesus was the fulfillment of all the Old Testament government. Not religious law, government law. Look at verse 10. We have an altar. Wherefore they have no right to eat which serve the tabernacle. By the way, remember Revelation chapter 20? The tabernacle is where God rules the universe from. The tabernacle on earth was where God came and ruled the Hebrew people while they were in the wilderness. And then it became the temple in Israel. So it was the government headquarters that to which was doing that. Now watch this. For the bodies of those beasts. Ooh, that's talking about animals, right? And if you remember, if you go through the Old Testament, you'll find out there was turtle doves, there were pigeons, there were bulls, there were lambs, there were all kinds of different animals that were brought and blood sacrifices given. Now watch this. For the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin and burned without the camp. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Now that doesn't mean that he didn't have a gate. It means he was suffering outside the gate, just like those sacrifices that were taken outside the gate to be disposed of. Now watch this. Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. In other words, let's follow him, not the government.
Amen.
For we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. In other words, what is that continuing city that is to come? It's called the New Jerusalem. By him, therefore, let us offer sacrifice and praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our own lips, giving thanks to his name. Now, the sacrifices were so that God could lead the nation of sinful people, and blood was required to cover their sin. Just like if you get a speeding ticket, you have to pay a penalty. If you have some other kind of infraction, there is a there's a set fee set on that that you must pay. That is exactly what the Old Testament sacrifices were. When something was done wrong, this is how you paid for it. And the bigger the crime, the bigger the price. That's what it came down to. Now, I want you to notice something. Jesus was the fulfillment of all this for all the people, not just the Hebrews. Look at verse 12. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Go to Galatians chapter 2. Go to Galatians chapter 2. Just back, probably 30 pages or so, Galatians, Ephesians. Galatians chapter 2, and look at verse number 16. Galatians 2:16. Let's go back to verse 15 just to get a little bit more context here. We who are Jews by what? And not sinners of the Gentiles. So he's talking about Jewish people, right? Jewish religionists. Watch this. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the what? Oh. That wasn't the Ten Commandments, because that's civil law. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Look at me. There is not one law ever passed in any country in all of history that could get anybody saved. Man's laws are to protect man from man. They have nothing to do with going to heaven. Look at verse 17. But if, while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. For if I build again of the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. For I, through the law, am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. Now watch this. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. There is no law you can keep that could get you to heaven, because Jesus was the fulfillment of that law. Amen. Skip down to chapter 3. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you? That's not talking about a TV show. That you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth crucified among you. This only would I learn of you, received ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? In other words, do you get saved by hearing the law or by the Spirit of Christ? Are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, you are now made perfect by the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? He that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth it he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Even as Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of the faith are the same, the children of Abraham. Now look at me. Abraham came a long time before Moses' law. And I'm using that term in quotation marks. It's God's laws, not Moses' laws. Look at verse 8. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all what? Religions? What does it say? In thee shall all nations be blessed. Doesn't say religion. So then they which be of the faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed everyone that continueth not all things which are written in the book of the law to do them, but that no man is justified by the law of the sight of God. It is evident, for the just shall live by faith. And the law is not faith, but that man, the man that doeth them shall live them. Watch this. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. By the way, that wasn't religious punishment. That was civil punishment. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Now look at me very carefully here. Jesus was the fulfillment of two sets of laws. Now watch this. He was fulfilling the law of sin and death. Go to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Look at verse number 1. Romans chapter 8. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. What is the one and only eternal law that man is a violator of? It is the law of, sin and death. You're not somebody because you can keep the Ten Commandments. We are all born into sin. Because we're born into sin, we're born into a law that we've already violated called the law of sin and death, correct? As it is appointed unto man, once to die, and after this, the judgment. I don't care who you are, how smart you are, how dumb you are, how pretty you are, how ugly you are. Doesn't matter how rich you are, how poor you are. Someday you will die.
That's right.
Plain and simple. But Jesus fulfilled and conquered the law of sin and death so that we could have eternal life through him.
Amen.
Say, how do you know that, preacher? Go to Revelation chapter 1. Now it's about time to shout. Revelation chapter 1. Look at verse number 18. Oh, let's go back to verse 17 just for fun. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not, I am the first and the last. It's talking about who here?
Jesus,
right? Now watch this. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore, amen, and have the keys of hell and death. When Jesus died, he suffered our hell for us at Calvary. But when he resurrected, Brother Jim, bless God, he took the keys of death and hell from the devil and said, they're mine now. You can't bind everybody because I hold the keys.
Amen.
And anybody who comes through me, I'm letting them loose.
Amen.
It is Jesus who fulfilled the law of sin and death for us.
Amen.
We cannot pay that price by any civil law, any religious law, any moral law. We cannot do it because it has to be done by the only one who holds the keys.
Amen.
Wow. Glory. Jesus fulfilled the law of sin and death for us by living the gospel for us. Number two. This is where I'm about ready to shout. Again, he fulfilled the Hebrew law to be king.
Amen.
He not only fulfilled the spiritual law for us, he fulfilled the Hebrew law to be king. Now, we're going to look at some scriptures. Get your finger licked up and stick it in somebody's ear. Look at Isaiah chapter 9. As long as you don't stick it in my ear, I don't care. Isaiah chapter 9, look at verse number 6. Isaiah chapter 9, look at verse number 6. For unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. And the what? Government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there should be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment, with justice, from henceforth forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Now watch this. Jesus not only took care of the keys of death and hell, Brother Jim, but he is also the leader of the Hebrew government.
Amen.
His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government there shall be no end.
Amen.
7 years after the rapture takes place, we come back and we rule and reign this world with him. And he will sit on the throne of David in Jerusalem itself.
Amen.
And we will be the government workers. Praise the Lord. I want Berkeley and Jefferson County. I have people that are going to be cleaning septic tanks with toothbrushes, and then they're going to brush their teeth. Matthew chapter 28, turn there quickly. Matthew chapter 28. Say, who is that preacher? I'll let you know after the election. Matthew chapter 28, look at verse number 16. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee. I read the wrong verse. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Matthew 28, verse 18. I want you to notice something. All power in heaven and earth. He fulfilled to be our Savior. He has the keys of death and hell, but he's also fulfilled the right to be the King of Kings and Lord of Lords here on earth.
Amen.
He will rule and reign because all power is given unto him. Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Look at verse 15. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Look at verse number 15. Which in his times he shall show who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, who only hath immortality dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. You see, God is the one, Jesus is the one who has not only conquered death and hell, but also fulfilled all of the Hebrew law to be king. Turn to Revelation chapter 17. Revelation chapter 17, look at verse number 14. These shall make war with the Lamb. That's the one that took care of the keys of death and hell. And the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings. And they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. And he saith unto me, the waters which thou sawest where the whore sitteth are the peoples and the multitudes and the nations and the tongues. King of kings, Lord of lords. He fulfills it all. Look at chapter 19, verse number 16. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of kings and Lord of lords. Now, what is Hebrews chapter 13 talking about in verse number 14? Well, Hebrews 13, 14 says, for we have here no continuing city, but we seek one to come. That's the New Jerusalem. Amen. Where Jesus will rule and reign for eternity. Amen. It will continue and continue and continue and continue. Jesus not only fulfilled the law of sin and death, but he also holds the keys to death and hell. But he also fulfilled all of the Hebrew law so that he could be the King of kings and Lord of lords for eternity. Amen. Someone has said, well, he did not become king. Oh, he's already king. He just chose not to take the throne yet.
That's right.
Jesus isn't waiting to be king. He already is. Just like when Jesse's son David was anointed by Samuel as a teenage boy. He had the right to the throne, but he chose to let God choose the timing. Amen. What a beautiful picture of what Jesus is doing, waiting for the Father to come at the rapture. Father, I could take it, but I'm waiting on your nod. Tell me when. You wonder why David waited? I believe he was showing us what Jesus is doing.
Amen.
Number two, I got to hurry up here. Whew. God wants us to please him with two sacrifices. Look at chapter 13 again. Hebrews chapter 13, verse number 16. By him, verse 15, by him therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name, but to do good and to communicate, forget not. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. Let me help you with something here. There are two sacrifices that God mentions here specifically. Doing good and communicating. Doing good and communicating. It takes sacrifice to do good.
Yes, sir.
Can I tell you why? Because the flesh doesn't always want to do good.
Amen.
You know, the flesh doesn't always want to do good. I don't mean to put myself somewhere where I should not, but I'll use it. I had a few people a little upset with me that I even preached unto, because my dad was in the hospital. Your place is with your dad. Well, I'm also a pastor of a New Testament church, and my place is there. Why could I not do both?
Amen.
Took a little sacrifice, 100 miles of driving, but it got her done. Took a little flip flopping, and Brother Gumby is an assistant pastor, bending and helping and doing whatever, but we got her done. I had somebody who was a little perturbed at me. Well, your place is with your dad. I said, well, my place is also with my church.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Well, he's your dad. I said, God's my father. I said, you didn't hear the last command of my dad. Don't you miss church. I can make it. I'll be okay. If I'm not, you know where to pick me up. That's exactly what he said. He said, don't you miss church. I'll be all right. All right, Dad. I can't tell you, I wasn't a little concerned. Matter of fact, I was. But I had some upset, but my priorities did not change. You see, it takes sacrifice to do good. Everybody doing okay? That's what James 4:17 is about. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Could I have gone down to Winchester's Sunday morning and sat there all day waiting for Dad to have surgery? Yeah, but I wouldn't have been doing all the good I could do. We had 5 visitors and 2 people get saved that day. Had people here that got their hearts helped on Sunday. I guess I could do both, couldn't I? It takes sacrifice. Go to James chapter 1. It's just one page over to the right there. James chapter 1. It's right after the book of Hebrews. Look at verse number 22. But be ye, what's the next word?
Doers.
Doers of the word. And not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass. And I'm going to stop right there. We have churches filled with people with PowerPoint presentations and pretty outlines and alliterative outlines and people getting papers passed out in church to follow the preacher's message because it's been pre-printed from the internet or wherever. Well, I just have a whole notebook full of wonderful church notes, but you wouldn't walk across the street to tell a lost sinner how to stay out of hell. What good is all that knowledge? God says, I don't want you to be a hearer of the word and not a doer of the word. I'd rather you be a doer of the word and know less of it than to know more of it and not do anything with it.
Amen.
By the way, I'm a firm believer, the more you do, the more you'll learn.
Amen.
You can hear a teacher teach about math, but if you don't put your mind to it and do it, you'll never learn it. Well, I just don't like doing it. Then hurry up and get it done. Sitting there piddling all day isn't going to fix it. Man, I have a rule. Whatever I don't like, I do first.
Amen.
That way I can end on topside, not grumbling about it and have to drag it home because I still hate doing it. Get that thing over with. Go after that thing, get it over, get it done. Man, I always choose the hardest things to do first off in the day. Can I tell you why? I'm freshest and I can get through it faster. It's the best way for me to live. Now, I'm not saying you have to do that, but I'm telling you something. I get a whole lot more done than most folks.
Amen.
Say why? Because I'm a doer of the word, not a hearer only.
Amen.
God says, I want you to be a doer, not just a hearer. If we only hear and do nothing with it, what good is it?
That's right.
It's like somebody sitting in church listening to the gospel but never responding to it, and they're going to die and go to hell.
Amen.
It reminds me in the book of Matthew where it says, Lord, Lord, have we not done all these wonderful things? Have we not prophesied in thy name? Have we not done all these miracles and seen you do all these things? And God says, I never knew you. Depart from me, you cursed into everlasting hellfire. He said, I don't care what you did in your own flesh. You never did the important thing by getting saved.
Right.
And you must be born again.
Amen.
Therefore, to him knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. It's a sacrifice to do good. Yes, it is. But doing good takes time. Doing good may take money. Doing good takes your energy. Doing good sometimes means getting up earlier, staying up later. Doing good sometimes means not doing something you want to do what somebody else needs done.
Yes, sir.
There's a lot of things my wife and I have not done in life. Can I tell you why? Because there's other things that were more important. Plain and simple. Say, don't you feel cheated? Not at all. I was reading a missionary letter. I think I got one by email today. I think it was the... Baxter's. I got the Baxter's prayer letter, and he's talking about a missionary friend of his that he met up with that he's not met before, but he knew. I said, you got to be kidding. I trained that guy in the e-bus ministry. Bless God, about had a spell. Old Nick Malucci. I trained that boy. Taught him how to be a bus captain in, I think it was in La Porte, Indiana. Can I tell you something? I didn't know where Nick was at. Now he's helping one of our missionaries. Been on the mission field. Matter of fact, I think he's got some kids on the mission field now. Had just a little part in that. Wonder if I decided I didn't want to go out and work real hard one day and not train Nick Malucci, what would have happened? You see, it takes sacrifice to do good. Now, number two, and I'll finish very quickly here. It takes sacrifice to communicate properly. Now, listen to me very carefully here. Communication doesn't mean you just run your mouth and tell everybody what you think. I hate to disappoint you. Communication is two-way. Communication takes the person speaking, but it also takes the hearer. Amen. There's radio waves going all through the sky at all times, but if you're not tuned into it, it doesn't do you any good. Amen. Just because you're running your mouth all the time and the words are flying around doesn't mean anybody's tuned into you. Everybody doing all right? That's the nicest way I knew how to say that, by the way. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 6. Look at verse number 18. That they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate. That term, willing to communicate, that's something as a preacher I have to work hard at. You come into here some Sunday morning with 100 or 120 folks sitting down in this room of all spiritual backgrounds, all ages, and preach one sermon and try to touch everybody's life. You have to learn how to communicate with people. I had to talk to somebody just the other day, and I told the, well, it was the lady at the CCW place. I said, ma'am, I'm not upset with you. I just don't like the stupid rule. She said, I know. But I wasn't angry at her. I wonder how many folks would have gotten mad at her. It wasn't her rule. She's paying, we're paying her to do what she's supposed to do.
Right.
My fault for not researching how to make the payment.
Amen.
Shut up. But it's true. See, willing to communicate takes sacrifice. Yeah. Because you already made that mistake, right? Should have called you first. Find out what you didn't do right so I could do it right. Now, wait a minute. Willing to communicate means this. Just because you say something louder doesn't mean that you got it through. People think, well, I'll say it again. I'll just say it louder. Well, just because you say it again doesn't mean you understand it.
Amen.
There were days when my dad said no. I would push. And he would stop and he would say, what don't you get, the N or the O? Communication was done, amen? He didn't say it louder. He didn't get angry. He said, what part don't you understand, the N or the O? Just because you say it louder doesn't mean that you communicated it. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Not anger. Not frustration. Not total confusion. Everybody look at me for just a second here. I want your eyeballs right here. I can help you learn how to communicate when you don't expect everybody to know what you know.
That's right.
Let me rephrase that. I try never to speak to people thinking that they know everything that I'm thinking. First of all, for some of you, nobody knows what you're thinking. But just because you know something doesn't mean everybody knows what you know or knows what you're thinking right now. People walk up to me and start saying something. I'll say, hold it. What are you talking about? Well, do you remember last Thursday? Okay, now I know what week we're in. Now what are we talking about? Y'all know what I'm talking about? Or somebody just come up and just start talking and then get frustrated that you don't know what they're talking about? Time out. Let me ask you some questions. Where are we coming from? What is this? Fellas, we're real good at that because we think a whole lot and then we think everybody knows what we were thinking. Yeah, it's kind of like a catcher talking to himself. Yeah, buddy. Communication means you bring everybody up to the same page at the same time. My wife and I think we were headed to Winchester one day to see Dad, and we had talked about something, changed subjects, and she started back on something. I said, hold it. What are you talking about? She said, well, that. I said, we were changed subjects once. She said, well, I want to go back. Oh, okay, I just need to be on the same page. I wasn't in the same book. Well, I'm on the same page. But I found out which page to be on and what book to be in, and I was there. I wasn't upset. I just had no idea where she was going with it. I was thinking something way over here. She's all the way back over there. And we finally figured out where we were at, met together, and communicated fine. Say, were you frustrated? Not once I found out what page we were on. But until then, well, we just talked about that in your mind, but I already had 16 other thoughts. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, look at verse 33. 1 Corinthians 15:33. Oh, I love this verse. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. We live in a world filled with evil communication. Social media, music, the way people talk to one another, filthy, vile, vulgar language, Hollyweird, the news media, I could go on and on and on, video gaming and all the kind of stuff, the filthy, vile communications that are brought forth. If somebody gets mad at you on the road, you're really going after it. Good night. We were driving back from the hospital yesterday, and some guy, he was in a hurry, and I'll be nice, but when somebody pulls up on my bumper just to pull up on my bumper and you got 300 cars ahead of you, tough toenails. And he finally got out around me and he was telling me what his IQ was and it was only one. And he was going stomping mad. My wife said, man, I said, hey, he honked his horn, so I honked back at him. I promise you, Brother Scott, mile down the road, he was getting off the freeway, and I passed him. No, I didn't honk the horn. He was still flashing his intelligence level at me, and I thought, all that, and I looked at my dad and said, my blood pressure didn't go up at all, did yours? He said, nope, but his sure did. I said, good. It didn't bother me a bit. All that weight, all that anger, all that fury, all that, did he communicate anything? Evil, yes. Now, I didn't do what I wanted to do. I kept my stick in my pocket, amen? But we have to understand, it just doesn't matter. James chapter 3, look at verse number 5. James 3, 5, and I'll finish very quickly here. Even so the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquities. So is the tongue among our members that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature and is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast and of the birds and of the serpents and the things that are in the sea is tamed, and he hath been tamed by mankind, but the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. I'll stop right there. God says we can tame whales and dolphins and sharks and elephants and lions and bears and everything else, but we can't keep our own mouth shut and figure out how to fix our tongue. And yet Hebrews says it's one of those sacrifices that we're supposed to do. Instead of saying everything you think, how about you think before you say? But to do good and to communicate, forget not. God says, don't forget. Well, I forgot. God says, don't forget. It ought to be on the forefront of your mind all the time. Communicate doesn't mean you say what you want to say and everybody understands it as you understand it. Not everyone knows what you know, nor sees what you see, so saying again or saying it louder doesn't help. One of the hardest things for me as a preacher is this. I have to constantly be reminding myself, not everybody knows what I know about the Bible. Not everybody knows what I know about church work. Not everybody knows what I know of the things of God, and I have to go back in my own mind and help people understand. Thus you have a statement. Boy, I hope they're not home. Because I know how you feel. Never get to the point where you forget what you felt and what you did not know one time. It takes sacrifice for you to think how to say something in a way that others can understand. You'll never understand. There's times I'll spend 35, 40 minutes on one statement in one sermon, figuring out how to say it just right. I'll spend a half hour of my life to make one statement. This is true in marriage. It's true with children. It's true with bosses and employees. It's true with pastor and people. It's true with doctors and patients. True with friends. I love how God, not man, has put the Bible together. Hebrews chapter 13, Jesus fulfilled the Hebrew law as well as the spiritual law. Amen. He is the king as well as the conqueror of death and hell. What a great, great, great chapter that we're in. Father, bless us tonight. Help our people. Lord, help us to learn to sacrifice, to do good, and to communicate well.